Good morning. Good morning, my friends. How does this January 2nd, 2016 morning find you? Well, I hope it finds you well. This is Jess Norm. As if you hadn't gathered already. And I am at the hammock early this morning. Just a bit before sunrise. In West Central Florida. No, I'm not extraordinarily ambitious this morning. Well, maybe in one sense. I'm here early because I'm sharing the car with the incomparable Mrs. Rosenberg today, and actually most of last week. I had to take her to work this morning in order to have the use of the car, because my car, my cherished and beloved Nissan Xterra, is in the shop. It's in the hospital for autos. You know, when you have a set way of doing things, and then you have to adjust and adapt. Because I think we in this age have a tendency to look for the convenient and regular, and I don't want to say easy, but yeah, convenient. When you have to make an adjustment, it can be some bird watchers on the other side of Cedar Creek there. One, two, three, four. So it's about eight or nine people on the other side of Cedar Creek. That guy is whistling. Listen to that. I thought you were whistling. I was so impressed, but that's a device you have there, isn't it?
What?
I said that's a device you have there, isn't it? Well, give it, be patient. I'm sure it will. You have the best intention. A bird count. There's about eight or nine of them. I imagine they'll work their way back into the hammock, and if they do, I'll stop for an extended interview with them. Oh, that's the walk break. I'm going to take it so I can stay on track. So what was I talking about? Conveniences. And how it can unsettle us just a bit when we get away from them. And before I go on with that, let me set the atmospheric conditions for you. It is cloudy overcast, cloudy, not partial white fluffies or some light gray mist. It's cloudy, but not rain clouds. And the temperature is about 60 degrees, which is nice in the face of the low to mid 80s we've been having. This is just a bit more comfortable for running. And I just wanted you to have that feel of the hammock as I broadcast or podcast or talk or speak to you. All right, back to my theme. Uncomfortable. We've been sharing Mrs. Rosenberg's car because mine's in the shop. And the diagnosis is rear. I don't know if it's bearings and seals and pinion. I know at the very least it's bad seals and a pinion. There was a noise that I heard. Good morning. How are you both? Good, thanks. Two young ladies walking the dog. They have runner's attire on. They may have finished up. Yeah, there they go. They're running. They might be doing walk breaks as they go opposite me. So I heard this noise in my car. It sounded like a rotation, an altered rotation. It wasn't a scrubbing sound like a but more just the subtlest of hollow rotation, more like a Did I capture that for you? I feel a bit winded. I might be running too fast as I'm trying to speak, and it's not a comfortable conversational tone. So I heard that noise for about, I don't know, 3-ish to 5-ish days about 2 weeks ago. And then one morning, my wife had to take my car because one of the kids left the cabin light in her car on overnight, so her battery was dead. So I said, well, just take my car. And she said, okay. And she heard the noise. So then with the holidays and both of us needing our cars, it was a few more days before I got to the shop. The shop I go to, pretty trustworthy. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I've been going to Dick Carroll's Auto probably since the 1990s. Yeah, how about that? I've gone through two generations of mechanics in that. The father, the original Dick Carroll, has since passed away. He died of leukemia. He was in his 70s, maybe. I don't think he was in his 80s, but he was very healthy. Looked phenomenal. But he left the business to his son, Richard. Been with Richard now for... Well, Richard's had the business for probably 5 or 8 years. But he was working there with his father before, so... When I dropped it off, one of the mechanics called me and said he took it for a ride and he couldn't hear the sound. And I tried to describe it to him and to express that it was very subtle. I don't know why I'm so winded. Is it because I'm running faster? Because I have a few extra pounds of belly fat? Or two cups of coffee making me jacked up? I feel just a bit winded for conversational tone. I mean, I don't feel exhausted, winded. It's just hard to speak to you comfortably. I might take an extra walk break because I have so much to say. Maybe it's coming out phonetically anxiously. Anyway, Richard took the car back out later and he heard it. And I'm glad as an owner, he took that time to go back behind. I didn't ask him to do that, but to go back behind one of his mechanics and check that himself. And he heard the noise. And he thought originally it was going to be definitely seals, bearings, and maybe a pinion. But he thought the least inexpensive and most convenient thing for me would be to at least replace the bearings and seals and see if that takes care of it. But further investigation revealed its opinion, which is a bit more, from what I understand, of an undertaking to repair. I've made it down Harvard around one of the baseball diamonds into the hammock. A long Skinner over to Harris, back up, and now I'm escalating up Grant as I head south within the hammock. So, all that long-windedness to say, my car's been in the shop for the better part of last week. And part of that is because of the investigation process. Part of that is because of the holidays and the limit on actual shop time available. And etc., etc. Trying to breathe it out a little bit so I can talk better. So the shop will have my car, I'm hoping, Monday or Tuesday of next week. But until that time, I've been driving to Tampa, and Mrs. Rosenberg and the girls have been without a car. But there's family and friends in town if they needed to get someplace or do something. They have that option. Meanwhile, Norman, and all his silliness and guilt, has felt badly that they haven't had a car to run around and what I call run, jump, and play in. But they're kind and good to me, those girls, and I'm grateful for them. It's just, boy, you realize the importance of transportation and vehicles. And as a guy who's bringing up a young family and a teenager in the house, Rosella's 15 now, I have to be thinking about another car over the next year or two. Payments, increased insurance, and keeping them all in working order. My car is a 2008, and I have about 127,000 miles on it. It's in pretty good shape. I've been taking it to the mechanic every few months for routine maintenance. And I may very well get another 70,000 miles on the vehicle. As well, it has crossed my mind that with this recent repair, maybe the time is now to start looking for another vehicle and give Roselle my Nissan, because she would only be driving it around town, a mile here, 2 miles there, and probably would get much more life out of it. So, a little car talk for you. Coming up on the back of the hammock, past the two turtle holes where no peeking out or showing of the head by the turtle has taken place. I am a mile in, I guess, yeah. 1.04. And there you go. I spent probably 15 minutes telling you what I could have said in several seconds. My car broke down. I've been sharing Mrs. Rosenberg's, and it'll be fixed next week. Just to prove to you I can be concise. It's just not my want or my style. Good morning.
Hey, morning.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I feel great.
Cool. It does. I'm glad for it. That heat was getting a little bit old, wasn't it?
You were waiting for it, huh?
Yeah. He has just bicycled in from Our Lady of Lourdes Church. He's wrapped up in a scarf and a winter parka. I, on the other hand, am dressed in a pair of shorts. I have a short sleeve technical tee on. And because it was windy and chillier this morning, I put a very lightweight cotton tee on, one of my old Dunedin Fire Department Union Local 2327 shirts. At the start of the run, I could have actually done without it. How's the bird count going?
Huh?
How's the bird count going? How many have you counted?
I'm not really sure. In different species. I don't even know.
I'd say probably about 20.
I'd say we probably have about 20 species, but not large quantities of the species.
And what will you do with this information? Where does it go? Is it just for your own personal time?
Everybody all over the world does it within a 15-day period.
Oh, is it the new year?
No, it's December. It starts December 12th through January 5th.
Okay.
It shifts a little each.
Yeah, but it's those dates.
Yeah.
So it depends on where they roll in the week, and everybody all over the world does this, and then the information goes to Cornell.
And they keep a registry? Is that what it's like?
And there's a database where actually people can go and look and see what's in certain areas.
So what are some of the things that the registry can do? Is it for the purpose of protecting endangered? Is it for repopulating?
Well, when you stop and look, like over the years, I mean, you have areas like Pinellas County, like when this was originally done, like in St. Pete, where we used to do.
Yeah.
1,000 bluebirds were there when it first started getting done, like almost 100 years ago.
Urbanized.
We don't have them. And now in St. Pete, you don't get eastern bluebirds.
Right. So there's bluebirds here.
Yeah. And yeah, this is unusual for
yeah,
him.
For in an urban setting, this is very unusual.
The farthest south
unusual,
that they've
actually,
been has been yeah, like Orchard Creek.
I'll yeah, tell you what I don't see much of, and I am no bird aficionado, but the red robins and the red birds.
Yeah, we just had 13 flyovers.
Did you really?
Yeah, the robins.
They only.
I guess
they
I just don't see them as much as I want to.
Well, we don't see them here, but just in
well,
migration.
We're not. Yeah, we don't have numbers them we used to.
Really?
They mm-hmm, either just flew in.
And that's the thing that gets noticed is like the counts, like where all the ducks used to be. You know, we have thousands of stuff sometimes out on the bay.
Wow.
And now you're lucky if you get hundreds of them. The
area has changed.
Yeah.
They do and a lot of studies with it.
Very interesting. Thank you for the information. Everybody have a nice new year.
You too. You too.
Thank you for being with us.
That reminds me, I think I've seen him here once before and had a similar conversation. That's very interesting. Day, but don't know where to go to link each passage of thought and conversation together. I know I wanted to share with you about the car and what else? The new year is upon us, I know. We all may have resigned ourselves to making resolutions, our resolve to change something about ourselves, or try to make something better or more efficient. I think there are positives to that, absolutely. But I also think that you can set yourself up for all kinds of failure if you're not careful about what your resolutions are, why you're doing them, what they mean to you, and how you would measure your progress. Because I think what can happen is that if we don't see instant success from whatever resolution we make, we can become impatient or frustrated and just drop it. There we go. I guess another, I don't know if this is correct, but I found myself thinking about words a little bit of the past couple days. So we can say for the new year we're making resolutions, or dare we say that we are seeking reformation? Were you wondering if I was going to go there? Reformation. Well, reformation. What does that mean? Well, just a casual hearing of the word, you might think of something religious, like the Reformation and Martin Luther, who nailed, was it 95 theses on the wall of the Catholic Church and sought to bring to attention that system, the return to undiluted, unrivaled, glorious, sweet, limitless grace. Grace, undeserved merit, undeserved merit or favor. So,
Reformation, you might think of that. But if you look at the word a little closer, and I didn't pull out a dictionary, I suppose I could stop on my run and do that. But Reformation, when I hear the word, I think to myself, reformation, an active part of the word, to reform. And if we make a resolution, isn't that closely related to a reformation? So we're trying to change something about ourselves, our resolve, or something in that family. Aren't we then becoming reformed? Huh? So, I know I'm taking a little bit of literary license, dare I say, or etymological freedom, if that's the word. I'm always afraid Jim's going to call me out. So I know he knows these things and has a very sharp intellect and is familiar with these tenets and these facts. I know he can identify with what I'm saying, but whether I'm articulating it correctly or not is what I'm most afraid of. So yeah, dare Norman say he's trying to practice reformation this new year of 2016? And if so, what would that reformation involve? Well, two things I can tell you right off the bat. One would be, and this is in no particular order of importance, weight loss. I really would like to drop some weight. Not that I've gained any significant weight, but I could be so much healthier and do so much better in so many ways in life by not carrying around at least 20 of the pounds that I'm carrying. It may be of value to me if I was to participate once again, as I have in the past, in the 10 and 10 challenge that is put about every year by the Runnet community. Who's running it now? I know Adam's had a hand in it. I think he's running it now. Or Kevin. I know at one time Kit. Mr. Big has run it. And by the way, let's just stop and give those guys a shout out. There, I've stopped at the end of the fence. Now let's shout out. Let's start with Mr. Big. Just yesterday I saw a post by Kit saying he had completed a 12-mile training run. I think he's training for a particular long run race. I can't remember the distance, but how far has our good friend Kit come after fighting and overcoming oral cancer? I can't remember. Was it roof of the mouth and or jaw? It was some rarer cancer that was not seen often, but believe with surgery and chemo, our friend Kit is still here in this world with us, praising his King and Savior, and loving every moment of this life, this gift that we have called life. So Kit, my brother, I love you, man. And I'm glad that you're pursuing the things and challenging yourself and receiving each day that you're given. And for Kevin of Gwyn, my good friend, we've not talked much lately. I know you're there for me. Of course, I would hope you know I'm there for you. I really should give strong consideration to leaving a submission for the next Extra Mile podcast, because a couple reasons. It's been a while since I have. Part of that is my tendency to isolate, you know? I do isolate, whether it be from people in my local physical arena, and as well from the Runnet community, because sometimes I just feel like I need that space. I crave solace from time to time, and it's a bit, not a bit, it's very medicinal to me. Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Good. Are the dogs eyeing me up here? Friendly or guardingly?
Very friendly. They're very friendly.
They're beautiful dogs.
Just excited. Hey. And they think when somebody has something in their
hand. Oh. Yeah, I'm playing with the toys of the new millennium here, right?
Yeah.
The iPhones. A lady with two, look like Labradors. And they were both on leashes. I actually saw one of those dogs running up around the curve before I got to that little wooden footpath. But she must have put him back on the leash by the time I got to her. Now, what else? What was I saying? Oh, I need to probably put out a submission to Kevin. I was talking about isolating. Here's the thing, and this kind of leads me to my next subject. I do isolate a bit. I do need solace from, as I get older, this seemingly crazy, fast-paced world. But I often fear that when I practice this solace, which may be measured in terms of not emailing that much, or messaging, or texting, or making myself available with global position, my only fear is that this very extraordinarily valued and special circle of friends I have, I think Jim calls it the Magnificent Seven, which would include Jim, Kevin, Adam, Carlos, Michael Davis, Steve Hailstone, David Foss, and one other fellow that I don't have a lot of interaction with, but I know of him. I think many years ago, when I had a cloudy mind, I may have interacted with Tim Clearly on a very limited basis, but back to what I was saying, I'm always afraid that this valued group of friends will toss me aside and, well, they'll say, well, he's not really interested in being a friend, or he's not holding up his end of the bargain in friendship. He seems to be isolating, or, you know, removing himself from the circle of social media talk. And I could be just so imagining that you guys are saying that, but it just kind of feels like that to me sometimes, because of my own because of my own insecurities. And we all have insecurities, okay? I lay mine out there. I'm a human. I have all sorts of majestic and admirable qualities and tendencies. And I have all sorts of the silliest foibles and imperfections and character flaws. And so sometimes my mind goes to places where you might say, what the hell? Why is he thinking that? I don't know. That's the way I am. So anyway, got to get a submission out to Kevin. I also began to feel this way as a result of JD's recent email to that Magnificent Seven, in which he put out a personal podcast and began, I only got through about the first 5 or 10 minutes, James, but he began to, that's a gorgeous bird. I wonder if I can get a shot of that. Stop here. Hi. Thank you. That was kind of you not to disturb the moment. I thought he was going to fly away as soon as I pulled the camera out. Thanks. Okay. Making a little distance between myself and the very kind gentleman who was coming up behind me. And I'm going to run through this walk break, because I just stopped to take the picture. That was kind of him just to stop and let me take it and not disturb the moment. There's a lot of kindness in this trailhead today. Anyway, Jim sent out a personal podcast where he was retracing ways that he came across each one of us friends in this circle and some of our attributes. And I want to finish listening to it, but I'm not there yet. That's what got me to thinking about friendship with these guys and the role that I play in it. You see, in my opinion, all of these guys, those names I've mentioned, have held out their hand and extended prompts of interaction with me, and I may not always reach my hand back out if I'm feeling solitary. Again, I could be completely imagining that. But really what it made me think about was I could be a better friend or a better participant in that circle. And that may very well be part of my reformation this year. So what do we got so far? Lose some weight. And I know the words just spill out of our mouths and fall upon our ears so quickly that we may not really think much about that and how difficult that can be sometimes, especially if a large part of your life is sedentary like mine. And the other thing is be a better participant in my circle of friends and to rename them. We have JD, Kevin, Carlos, D. Castillo. You know, Carlos, I just add that day in there to make it sound as though I have some sort of command or mastery of the dialect or accentuation of the Spanish language. So I want to make sure you're aware that I say Carlos de Castillo when I know it's really Carlos Castillo. Michael Davis, who doesn't podcast, but I think Jim encouraged him to. Boy, Michael, if you could just throw out a Spreaker blurb, I don't know, once a month, once every couple of months, that'd be so cool. As Jim was, I believe, starting to say, I think I may have stopped listening. I'm certain you have so much to say, and it would come across so much differently and add to the depth and the texture of our relationship if you'd put out a little blurb. I know you're not looking for listeners or seeking high-end fancy post-production. Just give us a little Spreaker blurb once a month. It can be 5 minutes, you know? And of course we have Steve Hailstone, who I have not listened to in a couple of months. Well, probably since November. And for that, Steve, I apologize to you, but I don't expect that you're judging me too much, because you have the spirit within you. David Foss, my interacting friend from the Daily Mail, who's pretty darn good about emailing with a thanks for an episode, a few comments of a few thoughts in response to an episode, which is what I've been clamoring for years, and I get very little of, but it's all good. I think from what James said, David puts forth a bit of a submission to his Seeker podcast, which, gosh, James, what do you got, about 2,000 or 3,000 of those things now? I just can't keep up, my friend. I get to listen to a snippet of one here or there, and maybe a Spreaker submission, but once again, woefully behind in those. Anyway, those guys deserve better from me. And I think I'll trail off on that thought about that and move on to, let's see, are there any other reformations I need to make? Well, I guess the other reformation, and again, these are in no particular order, are to grow in my spiritual life. I'm trying to select just the right words here. And it's such an oft-overused term, grow in your spiritual life. Now, there are components or elements to that. Did you read the Bible? Have you read through it in a year? Are you following all the commands? Can you say that you know God and you've seen the face of God? Well, those are I think those are elements that some clergy, for lack of a better word, I don't know if clergy just refers to a particular denomination, but anyway, those are certainly lofty and attainable goals, but I can tell you that I think that in my own lowly and humble view that I have grown spiritually at least over the last yearish, and I may not have mastered that laundry list of religious acts. What I would consider more growth in my spiritual walk are trying to be more at peace and have a better understanding and comprehension of the salvation of our souls. Because with religion or spirituality or faith, insert whatever descriptor you'd like in there, there can be the tendency to become on one side of the track or the other extreme. So you can just throw caution to the wind and say, yep, I have this belief, so everything's okay, it's all good. Or you can say, well, I've got this belief and I have to measure up or add something to that belief. And neither one of those are correct. Once again, it's a question of balance. And for me, I can almost by default tilt the needle of imbalance towards the beating up of oneself or the general flavor of I'm not doing good enough or I've done wrong and I'm bad and all those kind of things. So that's another reformation goal I have, is to continue to grow and move in a better direction. I think, although I am not, let me repeat in capital letters, I'm not a Puritan. I think some of the Puritans struggled with those kind of thoughts about, you know, indwelling sin. You know, understanding, not just saying that we're imperfect, but understanding our position in the faith and how the price has been paid for our souls and our minds and hearts. And really, I could chop that up quite a bit more, but just saying, I struggle sometimes in those venues. What other reformation can I create or ascribe for the new year? I'm now in the Frisbee Golf Course. There's 1, 2, 3 Sheriff Department cruisers parked here. I think they were kind of meeting up as part of their patrol, and now they're leaving one by one. This is that little asphalt-paved Osprey Loop that'll take me back over the bog on the footpath by the Bird Observatory. And we're coming up on close to 3 miles before I even make the beginning of my first loop, which is good news. Morning. I guess, I don't know if it would be part of the reformation of the new year, but I would like to increase the miles just for health purposes, not for counting them, not for saying, oh, I got X amount of miles this day or week. I mean, a roundabout goal is not wrong, but if I hang my hat on it, then it can get kind of controlling and I can obsess about it. But you know, the summer's over. Yeah, we have some warmer than usual days, but this is the time of year where I really should be putting in routinely at least 6 to 7 on the weekdays, and more somewhere between 8 and 10 on the weekends. I also have a race coming up that I am going to register for, and that will be the Gasparilla, the 15K. So that's a 9.3 mile run, and I need to up the mileage in the weekends. So that meant run. It's coming up to the Osprey Trail footbridge. I also have this little small issue with, and this is, we've left the Reformation discussion. That's enough of me trying to set some goals for the new year, but I have this other little issue in my belly button, in my umbilicus, or my umbilicus. I've mentioned to you before, but I have a very, 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 very small hernia. All my life I've had an innie belly button. And about a year or so ago, I noticed a little puff. So this is what they call a fat-containing hernia, because I have a bit of a midsection. I don't think there's any actual bowel wall in there. And it does not hurt when I run. There's never any problem with running. The thing I've noticed about it hurting is if I try to do something that puts some stress on the abdominal wall, like weightlifting. So I've got these, I don't know, 15, 20 pound dumbbells at my house, and I've been trying to get in the habit of doing some curls, kind of tone up what's getting lost. And after I lift later on in the day, I notice some pain. Hold on a second here. Bear with me just a second. Okay. I'm back. Just came off the bird observatory and I've lost count of where I was running. I ventured off into this little undemarcated trail here. I'm getting my way back. I'm just going to take this little walk break for a moment while I'm talking. But that's another nice picture. Let's take that. What was I saying? Beautiful. Trail photos. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting distracted by trail photos. Okay, that's enough of that. Thank you for indulging me. Oh yeah, the umbilical hernia. So, when I lift the dumbbells, it hurts. And here's the thing about this umbilical hernia. It's not stopping me from running. It never hurts during the run. But it brings to my attention that I am unable to strengthen my core or do anything strenuous with the core. And that's just not going to get better by itself. So I have to think about and consider getting it fixed. And I am so anti-surgery. I am so, you know, if you don't ever have to have something cut open, don't do it. But this would be a minor procedure, and so I have to think about it, because I'm not getting any younger, you know? I'm going to be 54 in March, and it's just not going to get better. Maybe, whoops, I'm trying to wipe the sweat and hold the phone. And that ring alert was for a walk break, so I'm gonna
finish the walk break, even though I've taken an unscheduled one. And I get back on my my route, or my schedule. Is that how they say it in Britain? I follow this schedule. So yeah, I might have to get this thing fixed. Maybe, oh, I know what I was going to say. Maybe weight loss, I mean significant adipose tissue from around the midsection might make it feel phenomenally better. But I don't know. You know, when I'm at work and these guys come with, you know, they refer them to GI for hernias. Well, we don't do anything for a hernia. That's a surgical repair and consult. But so I don't really have a lot of experience treating them. They come to see me, and I can visually see the hernia, and I press it back in, and I can what's called reduce it. Yeah, you have a hernia, I'll send you to surgery, but it's not something we treat. So my expertise in managing them is a bit limited. So that's something that needs addressing as the months mount in the new year. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
There's a walker with three dogs unleashed. I'm sure you know that's not lost upon me that they're unleashed, but very well behaved. Excuse me. I think, as I stare down, and you may have been able to tell, as I stare down at the iPhone, I do not have the Sony digital voice recorder with me again today because I have not gotten new batteries for it. So, this will be two recordings over the past couple of weeks, which I've used the iPhone. The last one came out okay. I think you may have noted that in the past I've struggled with I got lost in thought. I started thinking about post-production. I was thinking, oh, look at that, 55 minutes plus, 56 minutes, and I wonder if I'll be able to put music in this. That would require a lot more editing than I feel like. If I had done a 30-minute episode or a 40-minute episode, I would have considered music. That stretches out the length of the podcast at almost an hour if I tried to put music in, unless I make the intervals very brief. It would stretch this to well over an hour, and that's just not my style of recording. I don't know how you feel about that. Give me feedback on that. If you like the music, which Carlos seems to like it, then I'll try to make it a little bit more regular. If you don't, then I'll stick to my usual routine of just putting it in as the spirit leads. Oh, I'm trying to think of things that I wanted to say before I got distracted. I was talking about the iPhone and the recording, and I just wanted to, a little housekeeping is that, you remember when I lost the ability to make my phone appear in landscape? Well, I found out what the reason was. It wasn't because of dropping it.
It was because when you update to the newest iOS, there. Hello again. When you upgrade, there's a little lock button at the very top of the screen on the right-hand side where it locks you from going into the landscape view. So I unlocked it and fixed the problem. Just inquiring minds want to know, when you have a question and you don't know the answer, pretty much you can type that question into the Google bar and you're going to get led down the direction of the answer. That's enough. 3.5 miles. I'm just coming up on the beginning of the loop, so I'll get 5 to 6 out of this one, depending upon which shortcuts I take or don't take. But an offering this morning from me, the one who loves you all, just Norm. And if I have anything to say, we'll talk again. Until then, bye-bye. Morning.